You know how everything's a subscription now? Music, movies, even socks. I swear if I...
To continue this ad, please upgrade to Premium Plus Platinum.
What? No, anyway, Blue Apron...
This is a pay-per-listen ad. Please confirm your billing.
Oh, that's annoying. At least with the new Blue Apron, there's no subscription needed. Get delicious meals delivered without the weekly plan.
Wait, no subscription?
Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's time to talk all things Dirty Birds. It's Falcons Flyover. John Chuckery on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Back in the Kia Studios on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. John Chuckery Show coming to you live here in the Kia Studios on this Tuesday evening. 404-726-0929. That is our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line to be a part of the show. We'll talk to our buddy Eric Edholm coming up in about 20 minutes from right now. Don't forget, it is Tuesday night, 9:40. We got Rank'em coming up. So an hour and, 37 minutes from right now. But this is your nightly look at all things Atlanta Falcons. It is the Falcons flyover. So the highest graded rookies from Pro Football Focus, this will be very Pro Football Focus centric, top 15 highest graded rookies after week two of the NFL, Bijan Robinson comes in at number three. Will Mallory, the tight end for the Colts, is number two, but he did not participate in week one. So Robinson does have a couple of weeks of action. They say, quote, while Robinson was slightly overshadowed by backfield mate Taylor Algier in week one, that was a far cry from the case in week two. Why was he overshadowed? Didn't Algier average 5 yards a carry, 15 carries for 75 yards? Anyway, they're on this kick. They really are. Like, they're on this kick that if he doesn't lead the league in rushing, then it's a problem. Anyway, okay. Day-Day, who is number one? Who is the number one highest-graded rookie after 2 weeks in the NFL?
Let's see, Bijan's at three.
Yep.
So
you're going to know the name. I mean, you know where he plays, where he played college.
Oh, it's got to be Jalen Carter.
Jalen Carter at 90.2. Is that good? Is that anyway?
Sounds good.
Yeah. So, all right. Here's the Pro Football Focus grades from over the weekend against the Packers. As far as offensive grades go, Robinson was number one with an 88.2. Chris Lindstrom was second with a 78.6. That was a good bounce back game for him. I thought Lindstrom played really well. I thought Caleb McGarry did some good things, especially when they were running the football. The passing game, a little bit iffy, but I thought when they started running the football, those two guys on the right-hand side of their offensive line were outstanding. London came in at number three with a 78.4. Drew Dahlman came in at four with a 74.5, and McGarry was fifth with a 71.3. And again, I thought the right side of their offensive line, when they really started focusing on running the football, did an outstanding job. There were some gaping holes on both. And look, there were some gaping holes with Bergeron and Jake Matthews as well on the left-hand side of that offensive line. The pass blocking, I'll look at the splits coming up here, you know, but I'll be curious to see what those actual splits were. The top five Falcons, the Pro Football Focus defensive grades for week two. David Onyemata, who I thought played really well, 90.9. I will say, and listen, I talked to, did I not ask D-Led about Nate Landman starting? And he was trying to trying to say, well, Tay Davis and all that. No, no, Landman is going to play. Well, he finished second with an 83.4. I thought Landman played well. I thought he did a good job filling in for Troy Andersen in the middle. Jesse Bates was third at 72.8. All right. I'm going to be a hater. I'm going to be a hater, Day-Day. Tell me a play that he made in that game.
Honestly, nothing that stands out.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I'm not saying Bates was a slug. He had three tackles and didn't do anything. He had no passes defended, no interceptions, no nothing.
I was
going to
say,
like,
but they didn't really target his areas of coverage, honestly. They kind of went sidelines. They went at the corners.
Yeah, they went after the second corner.
Yeah, they went after the corners, but that was really kind of it.
They didn't throw to their tight ends?
I mean, they probably did. Nothing for Bates.
You can say yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Calais Campbell was third. He was also tied for third with Jesse Bates at 72.8. I thought he did some nice things. And I thought Grady Jarrett played well as well, 72.3. So that's your five highest graded defensive players. Other notables, Desmond Ridder was a 45-1. Now, again, he was only, I think, a 55 in week one. I'm not worried about Desmond Ridder's Pro Football Focus grade. You know why? Because he's a winner. He's a winner. Kyle Pitts was a 50.2. Tyler Allgeier was a 58.2. Trey Flowers was a 35.3. He got benched. And it wasn't just the penalty that he made. He got torched on that play right afterward, and they put Mike Hughes in. Look, I'm ready to see Jeff Okuda. I'm ready to see Jeff Okuda play and take over that role. So we'll see what happens. Arnold Ebiketie was a 70.9. I will say, again, there was a very minimal amount of plays that Ebiketie had in this game. But, okay. And A.J. Terrell was at 58.8. Can I tell you, Terrell played better than that. A.J. Terrell had some big plays in that game. He had multiple big plays in that game. And they were targeting him. They went after A.J. Terrell at times. And I thought he made a couple of really nice plays.
Yeah, he almost came up with that interception.
Yeah, and again, he had a couple of passes defended too, mm-hmm. as well. So I thought A.J. Terrell played better than what his Pro Football Focus grade had for him. But again, now we're going to talk to Eric Edholm coming up here at 8:20, and he's got his power rankings in the NFL. But if you look right now across the board, Sportsnot had the Falcons 18th after week one. They're now up to 9th in the NFL power rankings. The USA Today power rankings, they had the Falcons 17th last week. They're now up to 11th. The Athletic had them at 12th after last week. They're now up to 7th. And ESPN, who had them 23rd after last week, now has them at 11. Now, do power rankings mean a hill of beans or, again, a pile of steaming, heaping, whatever? No, they don't matter. But, and look, we didn't get a lot of this kind of love. People are noticing the Atlanta Falcons. Did you see Scott Pioli on NFL? What's that morning show? NFL whatever? Well, is it Get Woke? Or are they on Get Woke? Whatever that football show is? Whatever the NFL Network morning show
is. Oh, the NFL Network one. I'm not sure what that one's called.
Yeah, I don't even know what that is. It's not Nate Burleson anymore.
I watch all my sports stuff on my TVs with the apps, and I don't have the NFL app on my TVs.
So you don't have the NFL Network?
Network app? No, I don't. I didn't put the app on the TV. Nothing against. I watched that on the cable TV. But I like ESPN in the mornings. So
you don't want to see Colleen Wolf and Stacey Dales and
they're all right, but no.
And Cynthia Freeland and
no. I'm cool.
Oh, okay. All right. So look, it doesn't matter, but at least the national media is starting to see that the Falcons are a much better team, right? I mean, look, that's what we hope for, right? Is just to get a little bit of respect you know, from some of the national media. Again, they're not going to buy in completely. And look, I think the NFC South has been the pleasant surprise of the NFL this year. The Falcons, the Saints, and the Buccaneers are all 2-0 this year. They've been surprised. I mean, again, the Buccaneers being 2-0 is a surprise. I think if you know the Falcons, them being 2-0 isn't that big of a surprise. But it's all good, you know. And I'm happy that there's at least people that are going to have the Falcons on their tongue. Listen, let them go up and beat Detroit, who's an up arrow franchise. Let them go up and beat the Detroit Lions in week three, be 3-0, three conference wins, a road win. Let them go up there and beat the Lions, and I think you'll have people buzzing across the nation. We know people here in Atlanta are super excited about the Falcons. That building was loud as could be on Sunday, and they have been loud. And listen, great for the fans for showing up, making the noise, and being behind this team. And there's a lot of optimism about this franchise. But let them go up and beat the Lions on the road, and I believe that you'll be seeing a lot of the national media that all of a sudden will be jumping on the Freaky bandwagon, right? Freaky talks about what is the thing he talks about? He's the driver of the Kool-Aid bus or the Partridge Family bus or the little short bus or what's he the driver of? Something like that. He's the driver of the bandwagon bus or
the bandwagon, yes.
Okay, the bandwagon bus or whatever it is out there. There will be a lot of national media folks that if the Falcons go 3-0, you can't help but buy into the Falcons and what they're doing. It'll be too hard and too obvious that you have to buy in to what they're doing. And there'll be a lot of people that get on that freaky, what's the thing, the freaky fan wagon or?
Bandwagon.
What is it? The freaky
the
what?
Bandwagon.
The freaky fan wagon. There'll be a lot of folks that will be getting on that from the national media. So, again, at least people are starting to come around to the idea that, hey, the Falcons are a pretty good football team. Arthur Smith, I'm telling you, I was talking to Maria Martin about this. I was passing her as she was leaving out because she didn't host, Reggie Chapman did. But I was talking to her about, I'm telling you, Arthur Smith is one of the premier coaches in this league. I think he's one of the best coaches in this game today. And look, it's why we've been even as good as what we have been. Even with the dregs of the universe as far as our roster goes, we've been really good because of Arthur Smith. So there'll be a lot of, what's the freaky fan wagon or what is it called? The freaky bus or whatever? The Partridge Family bus with Freaky? Anyway. All right, Eric Edholm, when we come back, Chuck Ray and the Kia Studios, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, the Odyssey.com app.
Tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle. With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try assemble and bake today. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Sports Radio 92.9, The Game, back at it, Chuck Reese Show, hanging out at the Kia Studios with you on this Tuesday evening. 404-726-0929, that is our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. Well, a couple of weeks into the NFL season, lots of storylines. Obviously, here in Atlanta, things could not be very much better than what they are. Let's head out to the WadeFord.com hotline from NFL.com. He is our buddy Eric Edholm. You can follow Eric on his personal Twitter page at Eric_Edholm. Covers the NFL and NFL draft, as I said, for NFL.com. Eric, as always, buddy, appreciate a few minutes on the show. Good to touch base again with you.
Yeah, good to hear your voice. What's going on?
So, listen, we're having a fun time here in Atlanta as we are 2-0. Now, I know you cover the draft a lot. So, when Bijan Robinson was coming out of college, were there comps or comparisons that you made to him? I know, obviously, you would have had him as your number one running back, but were there comps or comparisons about, you know, about former players or whatever like that that you kind of compared him to?
Yeah, and I was very high on Jahmyr Gibbs too. But you're right. I mean, I had Bijan as my number three or four overall player. I can't exactly recall, but you know, I started looking at him and I'm thinking, boy, the build, the power, the vision, the quick lateral cut ability, but always seeming to fall downhill too, which is what I love about him. The receiving ability that was so underrated in college, just underused certainly. I mean, that was the biggest thing. So I went with a big name, and maybe I overshot, but maybe I didn't. I said LaDainian Tomlinson, and I said, look, you know, he's got that low center of gravity and that explosion that really kind of separates him. And also obviously the physical skills to play the position, but yeah, that's where I went. And I just said, you know, if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. But, and I try not to go Hall of Fame comps on every kid coming out either, just to make that abundantly clear.
Eric, I know you've got your power rankings up on NFL.com, and I'm going to bust your agates for a little bit here.
Sure.
Just have a little bit of fun
Fair
with
game.
You because, again, you can take it. What is it about the Falcons that you only have them 14th? I mean, I know a lot of speculation about, you know, would they be better going into this season, but what kind of holds you from maybe putting them in, let's say, the top 10 after a couple of victories, you know, to start the season?
Yeah, and believe it or not, I really didn't have a bias. I picked them to go to the playoffs. I thought they had a good chance to win the division this year, and, you know, I thought the run game obviously was going to be a big part of it, and it was going to require Desmond Ridder to take that step up. I thought he played pretty darn well on Sunday. You know, there's still some moments that I think have to be cleaned up a little bit, and you know, some shaky moments, but boy, I just felt like there was a little bit more poise and command there. Very impressed. I thought week one was just an ordinary effort from the whole team, to be honest. I just was not overly impressed. Obviously Bijan had his moments, and you know, the defense held him to 10 points. Jesse Bates was amazing, but like, you know, if I was just grading them fairly in week one, I thought it was a CC plus game, especially with the offensive line. You know, that's such a good group. But yeah, last week was obviously a lot better. And two home games, two wins, you know, against two opponents who, you know, we don't really know about yet. I mean, the Packers, I think, are pretty good. You guys probably saw the talent level was very even. So, you know, maybe they're on the same sort of plane or in the same areas as Atlanta. But it's kind of all guesswork too, and I think they're poised for good things this season.
And you know, Eric, I mean, and listen, I'm joking with you about, you know, all of this,
of
and just, you know, with some of the stuff.
Oh,
but,
yeah,
but I do think that there will be. Look, say what you will. If you go up to Detroit and you get a win, and look, they're already dealing with injuries. David Montgomery and their starting safety, like they're already having guys out in this game. But you never apologize for winning in the NFL. And I do think that, I just was talking about this. Look, I think if they go up to Detroit and beat a team that coming into the year was a definite up arrow franchise, I think that goes a long way. You go on the road, you beat a Detroit team that, you know, was on the cusp of being a playoff team last year. I think next week will go, or this coming week, I should say, will go a long way in people really starting to buy into the Atlanta Falcons.
Right. Two measuring stick games. I think is it Jacksonville after that, I believe,
yes.
Right? So
yep.
Obviously, you know, Yeah, so it's, you know, the competition level's been raised, and that's what I'm excited about, because again, I feel pretty good about this team's chances this year, and you know, obviously they're getting some contributions from some new faces on defense, which is great. And you know, if you go to Detroit and win that game, and you know, even win that next one too, boy, that's a statement right there, I think. And you know, Detroit last week did what the early season Detroit Lions of last year did, and which is blow leads and not be able to get stops on defense. And I'll be fascinated to see how they handle that run game. And the, you know, obviously both guys can catch the ball too. And that's going to be, I think, a really good battle. That's a good game right there.
Eric Edholm joining us on the waitfor.com hotline, covers the NFL and NFL draft for NFL.com. You know, let's bounce around a little bit. I'm going to say this, and look, part of it is I grew up in Northeast Ohio, so I spent my whole life watching, you know, the Browns very intimately.
Yeah.
But I'm going to say that, and it may be early, but I'll go ahead and get hot takey with you. I think the Deshaun Watson contract is going to go down as the worst contract in NFL history. I don't see him turning that franchise around. And now without Nick Chubb, who really is the heart and soul of that offense, I mean, look, their defense is doing everything they can with Myles Garrett to keep them in games. But I don't believe in Deshaun Watson.
I mean, well, first of all, that contract, the minute it was signed and became public information, was already in the bottom 10 in some people's minds, if not the worst ever, because of the fact that it was fully guaranteed. And you know, and I think there was this talk of like, well, this is the way it's going. Well, it may eventually get to that point or for certain positions like quarterback, but you know, we're not there yet, right? I mean, we still have these contracts that have different layers to them. But if you play well, you know, then people obviously get off your back. What we saw last night was a bad game. Week one ran pretty well, you know, made a couple of nice throws, but for the most part looked off too. And so I was hoping, I mean, again, I want all these guys to do well, but like, I thought maybe he, you know, he kind of settles in. There hasn't been as much focus on the off-field stuff, and we'll see the old Deshaun Watson back. But right now, it seems like there's two disconnects. One, between him and his receivers, timing-wise. Two, between Kevin Stefanski, what he wants to run versus what, you know, Deshaun probably favors.
You know, and look, I've got my problems with Kevin Stefanski as a head coach. I personally don't think he's a very good head coach. That aside, I mean, look, they're a team that is immensely talented, and
yeah,
you know, they are a team that a couple of years ago, look, this team was a second round playoff team. They almost beat the Kansas City Chiefs. They had everything going in their direction, and they felt like they were a quarterback away from turning everything around. Now you look at and say, okay, is this going to be another year where it becomes a lot of wasted talent? Because they have an immensely talented football team. But again, you can't just keep giving away years of guys' prime career.
Yeah, that's it right there, right? I mean, they made all the moves this offseason. Obviously, the Nick Chubb injury, you know, threw a massive wrench into the plan. So there's, you know, I mean, there's at least a fair excuse if things don't go exactly according to plan this year. But, you know, yeah, right. I mean, that's the deal. I mean, injuries happen, first of all. Yes, they did fix a lot of these holes on the roster. You know, we obviously saw the defense make a lot of big plays last night. You know, when Amari Cooper is able to get the ball, he can do some pretty good things with him too. So, yeah, it just, I don't know what's going on with him. Two 15-yard penalties too. You know, I mean, like, he just looked like he was a little bit out of his head during that game. He wasn't – that first pass, too, to me, that wasn't a drop. I mean, it was poorly thrown. So you got that, the fumble, the other fumble. It just wasn't a good, clean night. And I haven't seen good football out of him in Cleveland.
Eric Edholm joining us here on the waitfor.com hotline. Is Tampa Bay's 2-0 start – the most surprising start, either for the good or for the bad, of the NFL season so far?
Yeah, good question. Obviously, you know, you could say Bengals 0-2 or Chargers, or, you know, one of these immensely talented teams that you maybe didn't expect to to start out in the hole like that. But, you know, if you want to go on the positive side, they've got to be right up there, sure. I mean, it was interesting to me. You know, I was sort of doing my first power rankings and just trying to take a little of a broad view, and I'm thinking, you know, everyone's calling this a rebuild. You know, no Brady there anymore, and they did cut some – they shed a little skin, right? But Mike Evans is still there, right? Chris Godwin is still there. Vita Vea is still there. You know, Shaq Barrett is still there. You know, Lavonte David and Devin White. I mean, you know, they have the core of this pretty darn good team a couple years ago. Now, the vibe last year was bad, but, I mean, Baker's come in and done a pretty good job. You know, you're still sort of waiting for the bottom to fall out. He's a little reckless at times. He takes chances. He was playing in week one like it was a playoff game and maybe gets hurt. Who knows? So I give him credit. He sort of re-energized his career and reminded people that this Bucs team still has some players. But, yeah, obviously this week, I think it's Eagles Monday night, if I'm not mistaken. That'll be the, you know, are they for real test, more so than even like a team like the Falcons or whoever else. So, yeah, I would say they're a surprise.
Eric, can you make a case, even after only 2 weeks, that Micah Parsons might be the most valuable player in the NFL?
I feel too good about two things. I picked the Cowboys to win the Super Bowl. Right now I'm feeling pretty good about that, but that'll change. That'll change, I know. But I also had Parsons as my defensive player of the year pick, and I was almost kind of shocked. I'm like, wait, he hasn't won yet? I had to, you know, double check because I've watched him just destroy teams. He didn't even have a final year of college football. He didn't do anything in 2020. That's what's so crazy. He and Ja'Marr Chase, they sat out, jumped into the NFL, and dominated from day one. That draft is going to go down as an all-timer, but how Parsons lasted as long as he did. And, you know, I Dan's done a really good job. Dan Quinn, obviously, you guys, I'm sure, at least follow with one eye how his career's gone. And, you know, he's kind of helped make Dan a head coaching candidate again if he wants to be. And I think Parsons has been freed up to do really special kind of Lawrence Taylor-y kind of things. But, yeah, you could make that case in a year where the quarterback play has been a little off early in the season.
Who do you think has been the better team thus far in the NFC, Dallas, Philly, or San Francisco?
Yeah, so I'm obviously, if we just go off, you know, what we've seen in the 120-whatever minutes of football so far, and the point differential stands out like a sore thumb. I mean, Dallas is doing historic stuff right now. It is two games. They missed Aaron Rodgers. You know, I think Daniel Jones just got completely spooked in that game, and they kind of threw up the white flag at some point. So, you know, there's a tiny asterisk. Obviously, I have a ton of respect for this Cowboys team because I wouldn't have backed them the way I did in the preseason, but yeah, they've done a really amazing job. They play better offensively. San Francisco had a great game week one, fought back and played pretty hard Sunday. So it's close. Philly hasn't quite reached that level, but they showed us a sign on Thursday.
Eric, last question for you here real quick. The Dolphins so far this year, they 2-0, you don't argue with that. That division, they could run away with that division, depending on what the Jets do, and if Josh Allen can't control his turnovers, they could really run away with that division. And I mean, they could make that thing a laugher, I think, early on in the season.
It's a Super Bowl team. I mean, I don't know if they're going to get there, but like, that's what a Super Bowl team looks like. You're going on the road and dictating the pace of play and requiring the other team to take great measures to take away your best players in the case of Hill this week. And obviously the Chargers were just bombarded week one. It was, you know, they were not prepared for that speed. And I love the way Mike McDaniel, I had a great chat with him when the Falcons were in the Super Bowl against the Patriots 2 days before the game, or 3 days. He was a fun chat back then. And, you know, he was always talking about creating space for receivers, letting them create, and that's what they're doing, giving them runways. And, you know, and it's Braxton Berrios if the other two guys, you know, Waddle and Hill, are covered. And, you know, they're finding the run game is productive now. And I mean, it's a hard offense to stop, and they're playing better defensively,
and there's a lot of speed on that team.
Yeah,
Eric Edholm covers the NFL and NFL draft for NFL.com. You can follow him on his personal Twitter page, @Eric_Edholm. Eric, as always, buddy, appreciate a few minutes on the show. We will certainly chat again with you here soon.
Looking forward to it, man.
You got it. When we get back, it will be time for What's Bugging Chuckery. Cowturd's got his favorite band. Where do you hear this one? It's up next. Chuckery in the Key Studios, Sports Radio 910 and the game, the Odyssey.com app. Sports Radio 92.9, the game, back at a Chuckery show, hanging out at Kia Studios Tuesday night with you. 1 hour from right now, we will get to rank 'em. It is Tuesday night, so hit us up with your list, 404-726-0929, Solomon Brothers Diamond text line, @JMCH316, @TheDLewis for real. Now, what game were you at last Friday?
I was at... Gosh, it goes by so fast. Where was I? Oh, I was at Tri-Cities versus Villa Rica at Tri-Cities. It was homecoming for Tri-Cities. They were actually looking to get off. They were winners of two in a row, looking to get off to a 3-1 start for the first time in quite a while. And then Villa Rica was looking to end a two-game skid. But more importantly, it was the region opener for both teams, and Villa Rica got the win. So they're now 1-0 in region play.
Well, more importantly, though, you were not around to see SmackDown on Friday night.
No, but I saw the clips because you know I get the alerts on my phone. So yeah, I saw the you know they'll send you like the 30-second clips.
So earlier in the day, Pat McAfee's with ESPN now, and earlier in the day he was in Boulder, Colorado, right? And he had The Rock on on his show.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it turns out that SmackDown was in Denver, and it was a surprise that Pat McAfee came out. And he came out, did a promo, and then Austin Theory came in.
Mm-hmm.
And Austin Theory came in. And remember, they wrestled at WrestleMania a couple years ago, right?
Mm-hmm.
So Austin Theory came out and started. And I was getting this feeling as he was getting into it. I was like, you know, The Rock was on McAfee. And by the way, everybody's on strike right now. So all the actors there's no movies being filmed right now.
Yep.
Right. And I was like, oh boy. I was thinking, man, The Rock may come out here, and they hit that music.
Yeah.
And
that popped.
And
crazy.
And I am telling you, like, I popped. Like I jumped up and was pumping my fist like. Again, there's nothing like seeing those guys coming back, like Rock, Austin, like there's just, you know, there's nothing like those guys. Yeah. I mean, they're just, and again, look, I grew up, I was a wrestling fan before Hulkamania. I grew up with Hulkamania, grew up with the Ultimate Warrior, Randy Savage. I mean, I've seen all of that stuff, right? I mean, I've been watching it for 40 plus years now, but there is just nothing like that era of wrestling with Austin and The Rock and everything. And when he came out, that place, I mean, come unglued.
Yeah, it did.
It was just ridiculous, the pop that he came out to. And it, and again, I get excited when the crowd gets, like, I love wrestling crowds. Like, I love when wrestling crowds get into it. Like, those are my favorite moments when you get those big pops for those guys coming out. And that place blew the roof off of the building.
It
was awesome. Like, it was
really
completely awesome. And again, look, it was what it was. And by the way, they had John Cena on the same night.
Yeah.
Yeah, because Cena and The Rock were backstage with one another. And I would not be surprised if some of these guys, if they don't make some appearance, like if this thing is not going to get settled anytime soon, I could see The Rock coming back for a match. Look, that's why Cena's here now.
That's why he, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that the
he actually came back, what, 3 weeks ago,
well, yeah,
right?
He's been coming back. He's going to make, I think, 7 appearances over the next handful of months here because, again, they're not working. I mean, they can't film or anything like that.
Yep.
So there's no – the movie people are on strike, so there's no production or anything like that going on. So, again, these guys have some time. And, look, I mean, they can – look, I promise you, they can come in and make a few bucks and stuff like that. But more than anything, it just – it keeps him in the limelight and keeps him out front. I would not be surprised to see The Rock do something at some point. It may not be anytime soon. It may be WrestleMania of next year, but I would not be surprised to see him, if this strike continues on, coming back and doing a thing or two with the WWE.
Yeah,
you know,
I agree.
And again, there's no more Vince. It's all under Endeavor now, right? I mean, it officially is that way now. But that was awesome. Like, it was completely awesome to see him back. And, again, I was thinking about it. And the only reason it wasn't as much of a surprise to me is just because I knew he was on McAfee's show earlier in the day. And I was like, hey, was the Rock was on with McAfee.
Mm-hmm.
Could this? But, again, it was still, like, awesome when he came out. And that music, like, when that first part of that song plays, if you smell what the Rock is cooking, and it has that ba-boom, mm-hmm. ba-boom, and it just...
And he changed it, too, originally. Like, originally it used to just kind of be kind of quick and fast.
Yeah.
But then he added that pause.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. It's just, again, it gave me goosebumps. Like, when he comes out and just, I was all into it. So, again, that was an awesome moment in those real fandom kind of moments.
Yeah.
And,
yeah,
you
it
know,
was cool.
I was glad that I was home to actually watch that. My
he
daughter
looks
was
good, man.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah. I mean, listen, he's again. he's. I mean, look, he's half the size that he was when he was wrestling because he isn't. He isn't all jacked up. All right, like he's not on the sauce, right?
Right.
I mean, so he's not on the sauce anymore. So he's all about leanness and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And again, he works out 1,000 hours a day, right?
Yeah.
I mean, he's got nothing but time to work out. So.
Yeah.
Again, but it was awesome to see him back on the show. All right, speaking of something else that's awesome, let's get to something we call What's Bugging Chuckery.
Don't look now, but somebody out there just got Chuckery ticked off. Like, that's hard.
Don't make me angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
It's time for What's Bugging Chuckery on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Well, our favorite guy is back at it again, right? And look, well, okay, so Cowturd was talking about his favorite musical groups or his favorite bands growing up and all this kind of. Here, let me just let you hear what he had to say about all of this.
Yeah, I'm sure I was more of an AC/DC, Guns N' Roses guy, yeah, but okay. I knew of Metallica.
You were an AC/DC guy?
Oh, I loved them. Van Halen, AC/DC is all I listen to.
Van Halen is in a different category. But
no,
AC/DC,
Back in Black.
That was
Rock
your fire
you like
up
a
song?
Hurricane? Absolutely.
So do you listen to that driving into the herd on the Friday show?
You guys didn't listen to AC/DC.
Okay, you can stop it right there.
Who didn't listen to AC/DC?
Okay. I guess Colin Cowherd didn't listen to AC/DC. Rock You Like a Hurricane, huh? That was an AC/DC song. Do you know who sang Rock You Like a Hurricane?
Was that Van Halen?
No, it was the Scorpions.
The Scorpions, okay.
Yeah. It was anything but AC/DC. So he was a big fan of them growing up. Back in Black, he had that one right. And then Rock You Like a Hurricane from AC/DC. Can I tell you at this point, Day-Day, and I'm being dead serious when I say this, I think those two guys get together and do this on purpose. It has to be. It a couple of weeks ago, he gave his 5 hot NFL picks, right? His 5 hot NFL picks, right? I don't know what he calls them, like his hot take picks of the week or whatever it is. He went 0-5. The locks of the week or whatever it's called. He went 0-5. I'm telling you now at this point, I believe him and that Jason McIntyre, who's his little stooge, who's his little flunky or toady or whatever he is, I believe they do this on purpose now. I'm 100% convinced that these guys can't be that can't be that dense. And I know that listen, I know Colin Coward has talked about, look, there are guys doing overnights in Delaware that are more accurate than I am, but it's not. And I get that, and I understand that, and I don't knock his hustle. I give him all the credit in the world. There's nobody that could be that uninformed and be that successful. It's hard to do. And Jason McIntyre is trying to just nip on his heels with all of this. But at this point, it has to be a rib. It has to be a rib on all of us. Because there is no possible way that these guys can continue to just spout this kind of nonsense without making it that it's intentional. There's no way that they could accidentally be doing this over this long a period of time. I'm telling you. Like, it has to be intentional now. I think he just throws things out there just to intentionally be wrong so that everybody latches on to it. And, again, it just – right? Isn't the saying that all publicity – there's no publicity that's bad publicity or whatever that saying is, right? Like, all pub is good pub or whatever like that, okay? Short of, you know, farm animals and children, you know, underage or whatever. But again, I believe that they are ribbing all of us at this point. It has to be. There's no way that they can both of those guys, him, you know, Batman and Robin, there's no way that they can consistently be as wrong or uninformed or uneducated or whatever it is, or ignorant as they are. There's no way. Like, it has to be a rib at this point. It has to be a rib at this point. And I guess we're all falling for it at this point. I guess we continue to fall for it because, again, I keep playing these clips and I'm like, there's no way that he could be, you know, again, he could be this wrong all the time about all of these things, about everything. He's wrong about sports. He's wrong about music. He's wrong about this. He's wrong about that. When is Joy Taylor going to be back on that show? Isn't she on that show? When is she back on there?
I thought she was on the one with the other guy.
Oh,
I
don't even know. I thought Joy Taylor was on that show. I know Christine Leahy is no longer on that show. Well, again, it's... By the way, how about this one, too? Did you see Michelle Beadle's going to be on Sirius XM?
Yeah, I did see it.
I actually like Michelle Beadle. But how do some of these people fail as often as they do and they just keep getting better gigs? Can I tell you there are two people?
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in and half the time I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Sports Radio 92.9, The Game, back at a Chuck Reese Show, hanging out in Kia Studios Tuesday night with you. 1 hour from right now, we will get to rank 'em. It is Tuesday night, so hit us up with your list, 404-726-0929, Solomon Brothers Diamond text line, at JMCH316, at the D. Lewis for real. Now, what game were you at last Friday?
I was at, gosh, it goes by so fast. Where was I? Oh, I was at Tri-Cities versus Villa Rica at Tri-Cities. It was homecoming for Tri-Cities. They were actually looking to get off. They were winners of two in a row, looking to get off to a 3-1 start for the first time in quite a while. And then Villa Rica was looking to end a two-game skid. But more importantly, it was the region opener for both teams, and Villa Rica got the win. So they're now 1-0 in region play.
Well, more importantly, though, you were not around to see SmackDown on Friday night.
No, but I saw the clips because I get the alerts on my phone. So yeah, I saw the they'll send you like the 30-second clips. And
so
things that
earlier in the day, Pat McAfee's with ESPN now, and earlier in the day he was in Boulder, Colorado, right? And he had The Rock on on his show.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it turns out that SmackDown was in Denver, and it was a surprise that Pat McAfee came out. And he came out, did a promo, and then Austin Theory came in.
Mm-hmm.
And Austin Theory came in. And remember, they wrestled at WrestleMania a couple years ago, right?
Mm-hmm.
So Austin Theory came out and started. And I was getting this feeling as he was getting into it. I was like, you know, The Rock was on McAfee. And by the way, everybody's on strike right now. So all the actors there's no movies being filmed right now.
Yep.
Right? And I was like, oh boy. I was thinking, man, The Rock may come out here. And they hit that music.
Yeah.
And
that pop was crazy.
And I am telling you, like, I popped. Like I jumped up and was pumping my fist. Like, again, there's nothing like seeing those guys coming back, like Rock, Austin. Like, there's just, you know, there's nothing like those guys. Yeah. I mean, they're just, and again, look, I grew up, I was a wrestling fan before Hulkamania. I grew up with Hulkamania, grew up with the Ultimate Warrior, Randy Savage. I mean, I've seen all of that stuff, right? I mean, I've been watching it for 40-plus years now. But there is just nothing like that era of wrestling with Austin and The Rock and everything. And when he came out, that place, I mean, come unglued.
Yeah, it did.
It was just ridiculous, the pop that he came out to. And again, I get excited when the crowd gets, like, I love wrestling crowds. Like, I love when wrestling crowds get into it. Like, those are my favorite moments when you get those big pops for those guys coming out. And that place blew the roof off of the building.
It did.
It was awesome. Like, it
really
was completely awesome. And again, look, it was what it was. And by the way, they had John Cena on the same night.
Yeah.
Yeah, because Cena and The Rock were backstage with one another. And I would not be surprised if some of these guys, if they don't make some appearance, like if this thing is not going to get settled anytime soon, I could see The Rock coming back for a match. Look, that's why Cena's here now.
That's why
I mean, he
came back, what, 3 weeks ago?
Well, yeah,
right?
He's been coming back. He's going to make, I think, 7 appearances over the next handful of months here because, again, they're not working. I mean, they can't film or anything like that.
Yep.
So there's no, the movie people are on strike. So there's no production or anything like that going on. So, again, these guys have some time. And look, I mean, I promise you, they can come in and make a few bucks and stuff like that. But more than anything, it keeps him in the limelight and keeps him out front. I would not be surprised to see The Rock do something at some point. It may not be anytime soon. It may be WrestleMania of next year, but I would not be surprised to see him, if this strike continues on, coming back and doing a thing or two with the WWE.
Yeah,
you know,
I agree.
And again, there's no more Vince. It's all under Endeavor now, right? I mean, it officially is that way now. But that was awesome. Like, it was completely awesome to see him back. And, again, I was thinking about it. And the only reason it wasn't as much of a surprise to me is just because I knew he was on McAfee's show earlier in the day. And I was like, hey, was the Rock was on with McAfee.
Mm-hmm.
Could this? But, again, it was still, like, awesome when he came out. And that music, like, when that first part of that song plays, if you smell what The Rock is cooking, and it just it has that ba-boom, mm-hmm. ba-boom, and it just...
And he changed it, too, originally. Like, originally it used to just kind of be kind of quick and fast.
Yeah.
But then he added that pause.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, again, it gave me goosebumps. Like, when he comes out and just... I was all into it. So again, that was an awesome moment in those real fandom kind of moments.
Yeah, and, yeah.
You
it
know,
was cool.
I was glad that I was home to actually watch that.
My daughter looks good, man.
Look, he's half the size that he was when he was wrestling because he isn't all jacked up. Right, like he's not on the sauce, right?
Right.
I mean, so he's not on the sauce anymore. So he's all about leanness and all that. Mm-hmm. And again, he works out 1,000 hours a day, right?
Yeah.
I mean, he's got nothing but time to work out. Yeah. So, again, but it was awesome to see him back on the show. All right, speaking of something else that's awesome, let's get to something we call What's Bugging Chuckery.
Don't look now, but somebody out there just got Chuckery ticked off. Like, that's hard.
Don't make me angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
It's time for What's Bugging Chuckery on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Well, our favorite guy is back at it again, right? And look, well, okay. So Cowturd was talking about his favorite musical groups or his favorite bands growing up and all this kind of. Here, let me just let you hear what he had to say about all of this.
Yeah. I'm sure I was more of an AC/DC Guns N' Roses guy, but I knew of Metallica.
You were an AC/DC guy?
Oh, I loved him. Van Halen, AC/DC is all I listen to.
Van Halen is in a different category. But
no, AC/DC, Back in Black.
That was your
Rock You Like a Hurricane?
Song?
Absolutely.
So do you listen to that driving into the herd on the Friday show?
You guys didn't listen to AC/DC.
Okay, you can stop it right here.
Who didn't listen to AC/DC?
Okay. I guess Colin Coward didn't listen to AC/DC. Rock You Like a Hurricane, huh? That was an AC/DC song. Do you know who sang Rock You Like a Hurricane?
Was that Van Halen?
No, it was the Scorpions.
The Scorpions, okay.
Yeah, it was anything but AC/DC. So he was a big fan of them growing up. Back in Black, he had that one right. And then Rock You Like a Hurricane from AC/DC. Can I tell you at this point, Day-Day, and I'm being dead serious when I say this, I think those two guys get together and do this on purpose. It has to be. It a couple of weeks ago, he gave his 5 hot NFL picks, right? His 5 hot NFL picks, right? I don't know what he calls them, like his hot take picks of the week or whatever it is. He went 0-5. The locks of the week or whatever it's called. He went 0-5. I'm telling you now at this point, I believe him and that Jason McIntyre, who's his little stooge, who's his little flunky or toady or whatever he is, I believe they do this on purpose now. I'm 100% convinced that these guys can't be that dense. And I know I know Colin Coward has talked about, look, there are guys doing overnights in Delaware that are more accurate than I am, but it's not. And I get that, and I understand that, and I don't mock his hustle. I give him all the credit in the world. There's nobody that could be that uninformed and be that successful. It's hard to do. And Jason McIntyre is trying to just nip on his heels with all of this. But at this point, it has to be a rib. It has to be a rib on all of us. Because there is no possible way that these guys can continue to just spout this kind of nonsense without making it that it's intentional. There's no way that they could accidentally be doing this over this long a period of time. I'm telling you. Like it has to be intentional now. I think he just throws things out there just to intentionally be wrong, so that everybody latches on to it. And again, it just right. Isn't the saying that all publicity, there's no publicity that's bad publicity or whatever that saying is, right? Like all pub is good pub or whatever like that. Okay. Short of, you know, farm animals and children, you know, underage or whatever. But again, I believe that they are ribbing all of us at this point. It has to be. There's no way that they can, both of those guys, him, you know, Batman and Robin, there's no way that they can consistently be as wrong or uninformed or uneducated or whatever it is, or ignorant as they are. There's no way. Like, it has to be a rib at this point. It has to be a rib at this point. And I guess we're all falling for it at this point. I guess we continue to fall for it because, again, I keep playing these clips and I'm like, there's no way that he could be, you know, again, he could be this wrong all the time about all of these things, about everything. He's wrong about sports. He's wrong about music. He's wrong about this. He's wrong about that. When is Joy Taylor going to be back on that show? Isn't she on that show? When is she back on there?
I thought she was on the one with the other guy.
Oh, I don't even know. I thought Joy Taylor was on that show. I know Christine Leahy is no longer on that show. Well, again, it's, by the way, how about this one too? Did you see Michelle Beadle's going to be on Sirius XM?
Yeah, I did see it.
I actually like Michelle Beadle, but how do some of these people fail as often as they do, and they just keep getting better gigs? Can I tell you there are two people, okay, in media that keep falling upward? One is Michelle Beadle. One is Bomani Jones. Like, nobody listens to them or watches their shows or anything, and yet they keep getting all of these gigs. They all fail spectacularly, and they keep getting these gigs. And now Michelle Beadle's going to be on Sirius XM Radio talking about sport. And again, she's a TV person. And she's like, oh, yeah, well, I'm finding radio to be fun. How does she get that gig? How does she get that? Like, you can't see her on radio. And that's what's bugging Chuck Reed. It's just frustrating. All right, more Falcons talk when we get back. Chuck Reed in the Key Studios. Sports Radio, and that's on the game, theodyssey.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.